Welcome, welcome, welcome. First, we'd like to thank Lee and Doria from Villa Vasilla for hosting this amazing event. I've only been here a couple times, but it's a gem. It's really quite amazing and unique. So I am a member of the Mountaintop Progressives, and we are here tonight to listen to the candidates running for state senate in District 46, and that primary is June 23rd. We have Michelle Hinchey, and we have Gary Greenberg here tonight. So. Thank you very much for coming.
Jonathan, hold the microphone closer to your mouth.
To the mouth.
Yeah.
I hope you've all heard that.
There you go.
Better. Thank you.
There it is.
Thank you. Public speaking. So for our candidates, we have a free MTP carry-on bag with a wholesale value, in case you have to declare it, of $5. It has a street value of $4. They are available. Also, we have an MTP mailing list. If you're not on it already, please sign up so that we know who you are if you want to be on our mailing list. So thank you very much. So it is Martin Luther King's birthday. He's the only African-American that we celebrate a federal holiday for. His inspiration was Gandhi, nonviolent, but not only physically, but in word and deed as well. And so tonight, as part of what MTP always tries to do, we are looking for a civil discourse, a way to elevate the conversation politically. And although we all have our own personal points of view, tonight we ask the candidates and those of us in the audience to think of what we can be as a country and what we can be here in the rural community that we hope begins to get more and more, become more and more visible in the political spectrum. MTP has 350 members, probably at this point the largest single progressive group in Greene County. The purpose of this meeting, although there are others that are not in MTP, is to look for the candidate that we want to endorse. So after this meeting, we will send out an email to everybody asking them to make a choice. That candidate that then receives the most votes will get our endorsement. And once we do have that endorsement, we will throw the full weight of our organizational skills and the membership behind the election of that candidate. We're thrilled that you're here and that you're all here. The turnout has been so amazing. So without any further conversation, I'll introduce Ron Lipton, one of our members, to go over the protocol and the way that this process will be run.
Thank you. This is a forum, not a debate. I want to make that clear at the outset. Robert Tomlinson from
Catskill
Mountain Foundation. I always want to say Mountaintop Progressive. The Catskill Mountain Foundation will be our moderator. Robert also has his own radio program in Roxbury at WIOX, is it?
Yes.
That some of us can get. He's very involved in the town of Catskill in redeveloping their master plan. So he is also about as neutral as we're going to get around here, so thank you for volunteering. The way it's going to work is that each candidate will give up to a 7-minute presentation and then answer questions. Questions we're hoping will not run for more than 10 minutes. At the end of the question period, if I think we missed something, I'll ask a question. At the end, after both candidates have had their say and answer the question, each one will have a 2-minute summation that they can give. So it's pretty straightforward. We don't want the candidates asking questions of each other because, as I said, it's not a debate, it's a forum. Sorry about that. Okay. So if we're all ready to get going, Gary Greenberg, you go first, please.
I'll do that.
Thank you so much, Ron. So we're learning as we do this. So a mic held here is going to be heard?
A mic held here? Not so much.
So please remember that when we speak, we'll try and use the mic to our advantage. I am Robert Tomlinson. I'm delighted to be here. I do have a program on WIOX, but I'm also an alumni for WGXC, and they're streaming the program live tonight, which is another great community service. So Ron has explained the rules of the evening and how we'll proceed. I'd like to start with Mr. Gary Greenberg. I'll do a brief introduction. He is a resident of New Baltimore. He is an advocate and businessman who founded Fighting for Children, PAC, a leader in getting the Children's Victim Act and Aaron's Law passed in New York. He served as an Albany County legislator, records manager of Albany County, and the chair of the Village of Colony Traffic Committee. Mr. Greenberg is a graduate of American University and Sage College in Albany, and is currently a minority owner of Vernon Downs. Please welcome Mr. Gary Greenberg.
Can everybody hear me?
There we go.
All right. Thank you for having me here tonight. It's a pleasure to be here before so many progressives. I'm a progressive. I'm a member of NITAN Green. I was a founding member, so I can relate to all of you. I also was born in Catskill. I want to give you a little background on myself. I was born in Catskill. My grandfather came here 80 years ago out of Brooklyn, New York for a better life, upstate. My father was raised here, graduated from Catskill High School, and they owned the George Greenberg and Son news postcards, and they traveled. What they did is they traveled all over Greene County, the mountains, just all over, and they took pictures, sold postcards, and at that time it was a very, sold them on the throughway. So I have roots here. I have a lot of roots here. I have relatives that live in Greene County. My uncle was Milton Swickle, who some of you may remember, was Republican chairman for the wrong party, as I used to tell him. But he was well known and did a lot of work here. So he is my father's sister. Married the wrong party, as my grandmother used to say. Some interesting dinners we had there. But I do have a lot of roots here. And Greene County has never had a state senator in modern history that would serve in the majority. And I think that's important. And I think that's very important to consider. Because Ulster County already has a great senator in Jane Metzner. And so you'll have to make a decision. Do we want another Ulster County senator? So we would have two senators from Ulster County representing down to Sullivan County, all the way up to Montgomery County. This has always been a Capital District seat. Howard Nolan used to have this seat. It was Albany and Greene County. And it's always been a Capital District seat. And I want to keep it that way. I think I can bring economic development to this county, being a senator from it and being in a majority. And let me say this. When I formed my Fighting for Children PAC, because I had enough of the Republicans in the state Senate refusing to pass the Child Victims Act, I formed this PAC. Fighting for Children PAC. It was the first of its kind in the nation. I went out and raised money, put hundreds of thousands of dollars of my own money in, worked with the state Senate Democrats. I held 17 rallies across the state in different Republican districts, and we flipped the Senate. And that PAC led to the flipping of the Senate, or we wouldn't be here today talking about a majority in the New York State Senate. So I have a record. I have a record of getting legislation, the Child Victims Act, for decades, lingered in the legislature and whoever was governor. and I took action. I took it out of the Capitol, and I put it on the streets of New York. And we went all over this state. And because of that, we were able to pass another law that's important to survivors, Aaron's Law. Aaron Mayer, and I worked with last year. She tried for 10 years to get Aaron's Law passed here in this state. And she couldn't do it. And I joined up with her. And the problem was not in the Senate, it was the New York State Assembly. We had an assemblywoman, Catherine Nolan, who did not want to put any mandates on teachers. Well, we had a new, they gave her another position, and Mike Diambedetto from the Bronx was the new chairman of the Education Committee. I went down there and met with Mr. Diambedetto, and I'll be honest with you. I sat right across the room from him, and he had a primary. He had already had a primary opponent, and I said, if you don't pass this law, we will come into your district and campaign against you. And lo and behold, that bill came out of his committee onto the floor and passed. So not only do we have Child Victims Act, your grandchildren, your children, our future generations will be taught good touch and bad touch in school. And I think, to me, that's more important than Child Victims Act, because we have to stop child abuse. We have to prevent it, and that law will do it. So I have a record of getting things done. I can go right down to the state senate. I know the senators down there. And I'll get more done. I'm working with Dale Driscoll from up in upstate Rochester. Her daughter and her granddaughter were killed by a domestic violence incident that was unnecessary. Because in this state, we don't have a registry where women or men can go and look up to see if they want to date somebody if that person was convicted of a domestic violence incident. So I'm working with her to get a registry passed, and she hasn't been able to do it. I think we'll do it. I got Senator Skoufis and Assemblywoman Gunther to sponsor that bill, and I think it'll pass this year. So that's another law I'm working on. So I can do things, and I want to do things here for Greene County, not just the whole district. I want to do things here. But I want to help build up the Democratic Party here. And I helped flip the Senate, and I can do the same thing for the Democratic Party. I can make it stronger, use the same political instincts and knowledge that I have to do that. I helped when I was in Albany County. I grew up in Albany County. My father and mother moved out of Greene County for job purposes. And I grew up in Albany County. I was a committeeman there for 24 years, district leader. I was on the executive committee of the Colony Democratic Committee, and I helped flip the town of Colony, which is now Democrat, and I helped flip the town of Gilderland, which is now Democrat. So I can do that here. I believe as a senator that I can help this county so much and just make it better, because we face tough times. One of the reasons too why was so enthralled in flipping the Senate because of what President Trump, has done to this country. And these Republican senators supported him in 2016.
Okay. Excuse me, sir. 7 minutes?
7 minutes.
That's a good way to end.
Okay, that's a good way to end. We defeated the Republican senators who supported Don Trump. Okay. And we have Democrats there now, progressive Democrats.
Stay right here.
Thank you.
You want to be in front. Stay right here. Thank you. So, as per our structure for the evening, we now have a 10-minute opportunity to have questions from Mr. Greenberg. Who has the first question? Yes, sir.
I'm a former educator.
I'm going to ask you to stand if you don't mind.
Sure. I'm a former educator, and I have two questions. Since children are a big thing that you've been involved in, one is vaccinations for children. What's your position on vaccinations?
So the first question is, what is your position on the vaccinations for children?
And the other one is your position on charter schools.
And position on charter schools.
Well, let me do the charter schools first. I'm a public school guy. I graduated from a public school, and I went to the Auburn Academy for a year, so I have and it was a good year. But I made a decision on my own against my parents' will to leave the Auburn Academy because I wanted to graduate from a public school. I felt it was important. I know that might be hard for you to understand at such an age, but to me, I wanted to go to a public school, so I experienced both. And I think it's important that we do, especially in the rural areas, the schools haven't been getting their fair share. There's a lot of problems in the rural area, opiate deaths, the rate of mortality has dropped. They did a study that population is moving out and that Greene County doesn't have the good paying jobs. So those are all, I believe we have to get more for the public schools. Now, I'm not against charter schools. In some areas, they're good and they're effective, but I'm a public school guy, I really am. And I believe deeply in them. And now the other question, vaccines. I looked at the issue and I studied the issue. My wife disagrees with me. I can't see, to keep a kid out of school because of vaccines. So, I think we should, all kids should go to school, whether they get vaccines or not. I don't think we can do that, force it on them. I know that some of the groups are going too far to go down to Albany and protest, but I had vaccines and I had no problems. Recently I had shingles, so don't get shingles, very painful. But I think kids should have vaccines, and until it's proven that, there are some scientific studies out there that say that it hurts kids, but we just had that measles breakout. We don't want that either. So
can we clarify your position? You're in favor of vaccines. You're not in favor of keeping a child out of school because they have not been vaccinated.
Right.
You think that's a parent choice, not a school choice.
Yeah, I do.
That's your position. Yes. Okay. Did that answer what you want?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Next question, please. Yes.
So, if Trump administration and the courts manage to repeal all or some of the Affordable Care Act, what will you do as a New York State senator to ensure that we continue the New York State health program that most of us now rely on?
Well, I'm a favorite single payer. Everybody in this country deserves health insurance. And as a senator, I'll do everything I can to do that. Nobody should have to go to a hospital. I had relatives that went to hospitals and not received care because they couldn't afford it. My sister had cancer. She had to file for bankruptcy. So I know firsthand what that is. Some of the aspects of the healthcare system in this country are third world. We really should be ashamed of ourselves. And I will do everything as a state senator to bring that up in third world to the modern age in this state.
How can you do that as a state senator? Can you help us with that? What would you do?
I would propose laws that would do that, yes.
Okay. Next question, please. Yes.
Where do you stand on the environment, fracking, pipelines, and transmission lines, and so forth?
Well, I'm against fracking. It's the law. There will be no fracking in New York State, as long as Governor Cuomo's here.
Right.
There hasn't been any fracking. In fact, the fracking industry, they had in Pennsylvania, and the price has gone down, so it's not. I would be against fracking. I don't think it will be an issue in the future because the price is going down. I don't think they'll come back over here in New York and try to frack.
What about the pipeline from Canada?
We have an environmental agency here in the state, and they have to go through all the public hearings and all that. But I'm very concerned about that. While there is good paying jobs out of that, I wouldn't want to see any danger to any neighborhood or any community.
Next question, please. Yes, go.
There's a lot of talk about bail reform and discovery reform, and Republicans are making a lot of political hay out of it. Where do you stand on it?
Well, You know, I really warned the Senate Republicans, Senate Democrats, that there was a danger when they did bail reform. They were going too far. In fact, there was an editorial in the Daily News mentioned me as far as you know, some of these sexual predators getting out. I don't think that's right. I don't think it's right that someone robbed a bank one day and is out the next morning. So I think we have to adjust that. But saying that, I am for bail reform, that people shouldn't sit down on Rikers Island or in jails for months or years without having a bail hearing. I understand what the intent of the law was, but we have to change it. I mean, you can't have, we had a case I read in the Capital District, somebody robbed the bank, and the next day they let him out. I mean, I think there was a case down in New York City, a person robbed the bank, then he went out and robbed another bank. So we have to reform that and make it more fit the realistic of what's going on.
Another question, please. Yes.
You had mentioned that as a state senator in the majority, that you'd be able to deliver more money to Green County. One of the issues that happens within our county is that we are lumped into the Capital District. So within the Capital District, when seeking funding and grants for Green County, we tend to be in competition with Colony, with Gilderland, with the larger communities up there, and we tend to be the ones that don't get the funding. There's been a lot of conversation in folks that I kind of hang out with that maybe we need to not be in the Capital District any longer and instead be in the Hudson Valley, so we also can be looked at as connected to like Ulster County in terms of the Hudson Valley region, the Catskill region. And I'm just curious that how you see being a state senator, you'd be able to deliver that funding to Green County.
Thank you. I fight for it. That's how I do it. I get right in there and fight. Change the formula, Green County gets more money. As I the school districts in this district, it's a very rural district, and I don't think it's getting its fair share. So I would fight to change the formulas and to get more money for the schools.
Thank you. And I used to serve on the school board here, and I was on National School Board's liaison representing our community years ago. So state funding for schools is based on land values. Here on the mountaintop, our land values in Hunter and in Windham are about 2.5 times the state average. So in terms of aid, that doesn't come to our districts. I really wasn't talking about schools. I was really more talking about the monies that are sought by the different organizations and non-for-profits that are looking to better the area. Within the Catskill Park here, within the town of Hunter or Windham, where we're seeking monies that can do infrastructure to better accept the visitors that are coming to our area. Mm-hmm. And so those monies through CFA grants and RED grants and things like that are always put in Greene County against Albany County, against the Capital District. So I'm just curious, once again, how you see taking that on. It's not a question of changing the law, it's a question of maybe are you in favor of moving Greene County out of the Capital District and how you would do that.
Well, we could look at that if there was enough public opinion wanting to move out. I certainly would look at it. As far as nonprofits, I think there's a lot of individual senator can do. To bring back to the district as far as member items and funds for the district. And that's why I think it's so important that we have a Greene County state senator in this district, because I'll guarantee you that I'll get you that money that you need up here for your nonprofits. I'll go in there and fight for you. I'm a fighter. When I believe in something, I get it done. And I'll do that for you, because the individual senators do have membership items. Amador put more of his where he lived, in Rotterdam and in Schenectady, because that's where his votes were. And I know the players in the There's no learning curve for me. I'll get right in there and fight. And I know the players. I know Andrea Stewart Cousins. I helped put her in there. So I won't be scared to stand up for what I believe in and for what my constituents believe in. And they're the ones, if you tell me, the constituents, that you want to be out of the Capital District, then I'll do that.
All right, thank you, Mr.
Reed. Thank you for having me.
I would like to ask just a couple of quick questions about financing. Where are you getting your money from, and can you talk about endorsements?
Where am I getting my...
How much do you think this campaign's going to cost, and how are you doing this?
You know, that's everywhere I go, I get that question.
Excuse me, one second. Did anyone hear the question?
No.
Okay, so let's clear one up. So go on. You want to use the mic and repeat it?
Yeah.
Thank you.
The question was about money and endorsements. First part of the question is, how much do you think this campaign's going to cost, and where will you get your money from? And the second, can you talk about endorsements that you already have?
Sure. The money will come from individuals that support me. I started in December, and I already, you know, raised from 54, I think, donors, thousands of dollars. And a lot of people ask, you know, are suspicious of me because I put a lot of money into the Child Victims Act. Well, I have I took a home equity loan out for that. I'm still paying that off. So I will put some of my own money in because I think that's important that a candidate does put their own money in. They shows, you know, that they believe in themselves. I will raise the money I need. And the primary, it'll probably take around $150,000. The state Senate campaign committee, the Democrats cannot get involved in this. They will not take sides. Whoever wins will get money from the state. This will be a key, this seat will be a key. It has been in the last cycle. I gave out of my own money Sarah Nicola. I don't know if you remember her. I gave her $16,000 for her campaign, and I gave Pat Strong thousands of dollars and held a rally down in her district. So I've been involved in this district the last couple cycles, trying to win it for the Democrats. I will put my own money in. I will raise money. I have the endorsement of Aaron Mayer from Aaron's Law. She passed Aaron's Law. 37 states, and I Rachel Barnhart, who was a legislator up in, who pulled off an upset up in Rochester, Monroe County, is supporting me, and I'll get more endorsements. It's just starting the endorsement season, and it's early, and we'll go forward. Thank you for having me and listening tonight.
Can I ask my question?
Well, let's do one more. We passed 10 minutes?
I'll do it anyway.
Well, we've gone about 13 minutes.
Okay, we just want to make sure we give you the same choice. Are you okay with that, Michelle? We'll
sure.
Extend it? Okay, please, yes.
Okay. My question is, getting back to this, you know, where we belong with the Capital District or the Catskill, Hudson Valley area, it's sort of like Greene County is the black hole. We don't really belong anywhere. And the problem is, because of that, I think, we have no industry, we have no economic value. How would you address that? How would you bring us to the fore?
It won't reach that far, I'm sorry. Okay, so the question is, she's making a comment, an observation that we're in a black hole. And because of that, we don't fit in well in the Albany or the Hudson Valley. And because of that, there's a lack of development in industry, economic development. Am I capturing this correctly?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
So the question then, Mr. Greenberg, is how will you address those issues and allow us to prosper?
Well, I don't, you know, we have a Republican that run this county, and I don't think they've made the right decisions. There was talk of building a water park up in New Baltimore. They let it go. There was talk of outlets in New Baltimore. They let it go. Friar Tuck, back in the 90s, when they first considered casinos in this area, in the whole New York State, they did a study, and that Friar Tuck was determined to be the best site to have a casino in the state. And Trump came in and stopped, so they didn't fork. You know, he put money in to stop the constitutional amendment at the time. To me, we have to. You know, I bring something. I already have ideas for the Friar Tuck, and talk to developers about it in other areas of this. I think that you're right, that it's long been neglected. And it's not the Democratic Party that's done that, it's the Republican Party, because they don't want change in this county. And so they've lost some great opportunities. And I want to say one other thing about endorsements. Endorsements really don't matter. A lot of them are political, you know, that people endorse other people for certain. In Albany County, I wasn't endorsed. 24 years of committeeman, and I wasn't endorsed. There's a lot, I've stepped on a lot of toes. I pushed a lot of people. They don't want me in this race, believe me. A lot of people don't want me in this race from the governor on down. But that's all right. I'm in this race, and there's only one endorsement that matters to me election day. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Beaver. Miss Michelle Hinchy. She's a resident of Saugerties. And most recently, Miss Hinchy was the director and then executive director of corporate communications for Epics in New York City. In 2018, she functioned as the surrogate for Congressman Antonio Delgado during his successful campaign for the U.S. Congress. From 2011 to 2015, she worked for Brightline, an interactive TV ad tech company in New York City, working her way up from business development associate to marketing and communication specialist, publicist director, marketing and director communications, as I mentioned, director. She's been a grassroots organizer for the Environment New York, volunteer for the Catskill Center for Conservation and Development, and has traveled widely to many countries. Ms. Hinchy is a graduate of Cornell University School of Industrial and Labor Relations. Please welcome Ms. Hinchy.
Michelle Hinchy, thank you so much for having us here and for holding this type of forum. I think it's a really exciting. Sorry, is that better?
Yes.
Extra close mic today. I think it's a really exciting opportunity. I think these forums are things that should be held much more broadly across this district, across Greene County, and everywhere else. I think you guys are really leading the way in this kind of forum. As people have said, I'm born and raised in Saugerties, New York. I went to Saugerties High School, public school, and then on to the ILR school at Cornell, where I graduated in 2009 when there were no jobs anywhere in the middle of the recession. But that's not new for upstate New York, right? And for Greene County specifically, including Ulster County, Schenectady and Montgomery, which are parts of the other part of the district. We need to focus on workforce development here. Workforce development, economic development, it is something that's incredibly important. I've always wanted to live here. I wanted to raise a family here, but there was no opportunities for me. I was fortunate enough to get a job from an internship that I had working in communications in New York, and that taught me a lot. And it taught me a lot of skill sets specifically around communications, bringing people to the table, understanding complex issues, and being able to share them out wide and bringing people onto the team and understanding why we need to do things, especially in a district like this that maybe won't be as open to some of the ideas that we have. At the end of every day, while I worked there, I always felt like there was more to do. And for me, growing up with my father, my mother as well, but growing up with my father really instilled in me what's important in the world and created the value system that I have, that it's always important to give back. And when I think of community, I think of here. It's where I grew up. Again, it's where I want to raise a family. My friends are raising their families. My family lives. And I looked around to come back and get involved looking for jobs, and then my dad got sick. And I stayed at the job that I was in because it afforded me a lot of flexibility, and that was a very serious crash course into the challenges of our healthcare system. I think we all know it's a problem, but until you're really facing something like the need for long-term care, which I'm sure many people in this room either have or will, you don't realize just how bad it is. And outside of the emotional toll, the financial toll, right? I mean, my father was a congressman, and we had to sell land to pay for his home care. And that's ridiculous. We should not be facing that. And it was very apparent to me that if that's what we're going through, what is everybody else facing? This has to change. During that time, I got really involved in the Antonio Delgado congressional race, as well as the Pat Strong race. I grew up with her kids, actually. And that was just, he showed me even more, was even more apparent to me that this is something that I genuinely feel we need to do. We have not had adequate representation in this Senate seat the entire duration, except for the 2 years CC Kachuk was there at the state level. And that's why this seat is so exciting to me, because I think there is so much opportunity. Gary mentioned a number of these things and touched on this too, but we need Democratic representation in this district in the caucus, because if we don't, this area is forgotten from Amsterdam down to Lloyd. And I think there's been a lot of conversation about, you know, where does Greene County fit? I think it's even a little bit less of where this, we're all one district, and it's about whoever's in that seat is fighting to make sure that Greene County is represented. I think the money should be coming back here. It's because Amador wasn't paying attention. He didn't care. When I first started this race back in July, when Amador was still in, it was really important for me to understand the dynamics with Greene County. I sat down with Jeff Friedman for a number of hours, actually, in Catskill, talking about the Chamber of Commerce and the types of business opportunities that were there. I sat down with Ron at Maggie's Cafe, not far from here, where we both sat there. I tell this story a lot, but we both sat there for over an hour thinking the other person didn't show up because we couldn't call, text, or email each other. And that is not okay. It's 2020. That challenge is all throughout this district. And if we have downstate-only representation, they're not thinking about that, right? Because New York City, Westchester is covered. We need to make sure that we are fighting for broadband access for everybody. There was a New York Times article a couple weeks ago that I'm sure all of you saw about the Hello Farm in Durham. And when I read that article, I reached out to them. I called their reservation line, I reached out to Sherry, and I sat down with her for 2 hours at their farm, at their kitchen table, talking about what the challenge, what, how they got here, right? Is it just a farming crisis? Is it that our farmers are aging out and they can't save for retirement and their kids don't want to take over the farm? Is that the challenge? Because if so, that's what we're facing. Figure out some ways to do it. There are other things that we have to initiate with us to make sure that they weren't this challenge. They'd have to have this very terrible outcome, right? So these are things that I've been doing from in here. I think Greene County is an incredibly important pillar of this district. You know, again, we mentioned the environment. I spent a year grassroots canvassing to end fracking. I think we choose to live in these communities because of how beautiful it is, because of our access to skiing, et cetera. We need to continue to protect that and make sure we have it. As it pertains to how well our campaign is going, I'll give a little bit of an insight into that.
You got like 10 seconds.
Sure. We've got a number of endorsements. The New York Times called this race, this specific seat, with me in it as the number one pickup seat for all of Senate Dems. That's a really exciting opportunity for us. We have the possibility to be a game changer in this conference, and I look forward to working with all of you to make that happen.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, so first question, please.
Yes. Hi. So we've all been talking about rural poverty, isolation, economic development. That's the cause. But one of the symptoms is the opioid and substance abuse disorder crisis, especially in rural communities. So I noticed in your bio that there was nothing mentioned about the opioid crisis. Governor Cuomo just is acknowledging a $7.5 million initiative to address the issue. There is a Stand Up for Recovery walk in Albany on February 11th. I'm wondering what your position is, whether you might be willing to attend that, which is a lobbying session, and how you would specifically address issues of substance abuse as it relates to these communities up here on the top of the mountain.
Okay, excuse me. Did everyone understand that? Because I know Rob is speaking towards us. Get it? Okay, thank you.
I think it's incredibly important issue. I mean, just to talk about Ulster County, I mean, Ulster County, I think, is the first or second in opioid-related deaths, right? I mean, it is incredibly important to this district. It's incredibly important to this region to make sure that we solve this. I think treatment, yes, I would be happy to attend. I think it's something we need to be shouting from the rooftops. I've talked with, I don't think he's here today, but Bill Sharif a bit about also coming into Greene County and meeting with him and the people that he's worked with to understand even more the root causes here. I think treatment is something we need to be focusing on much more, as opposed to incarcerating people immediately for drug addiction. We need to make sure we're working with them to get them better so that they don't fall into these same habits. That's tremendously important. That's working with DAs to make sure that they're going to things like drug court. They're not just being sent to jail. There's a lot of tactics that we can use, and some of those are not my purview, but I would take it, I would want to make sure that I'm working with those people and educating them. Maybe they don't even know those things are an option, right? And so we need to make sure that we're focusing on treatment for these communities so that we're not perpetuating the cycle.
Yes, in the back.
Hi, Jill. I heard you say the word fracking, but I didn't hear what your opinion is about fracking infrastructure, because we don't do fracking in New York State. But right now, Athens is confronting the Iroquois compressor station, which is going to increase its capacity so that it can send more gas through an old pipeline to New York City and Long Island, not benefiting any of us. And we also have serious pollution problems coming to the plant. I'm not sure exactly where it is, up on 9W, where they want to burn like hundreds of thousands of tires. What is your position on these serious, serious pollution problems that affect people's health?
They are absolutely serious.
What will you do about that?
I think we need to be focusing and investing in renewable energy resources, right? We should not be, the state just passed the most aggressive climate protection bill, and yet we're allowing things to come into our community that flies in the face of the things that we just passed, right? So I think for me, it's incredibly important, just a little bit of an aside, to be a connector between what the state passes and making sure our communities are actually able to enact them and have the setup to push those things forward. I think that disconnect right now, there is a major disconnect there right now. I think those things are really a problem. We need to make sure, again, that we're investing in renewables instead. I've talked to the operating, both my brothers are operating engineers, Local 825 in the Hudson Valley. I've sat with the operating engineers as a union level and had this conversation, and they did not love my answer, because I think that we should not be focusing on building pipelines. We had a great conversation otherwise, but they knew we would have some challenges there. But we need to not be focusing on these things. I think we need to be spending our time and our resources actually creating things that will create jobs and that will bring us energy that is while protecting and saving our environment.
Okay. Yes, please. Oh, did you get your answer sufficient?
More or less. But there's even more. I didn't even mention PFOAs, which are in Ravenna and Cairo. And we're struggling with a group that's trying to fight bringing large solar, industrial grade solar facilities to Coxsackie, and it's a crazy process. We need a lot of support to get them, because we cannot live using fossil fuels.
I agree with you. I'm in a conversation that my friends and I is, if we have 2 years, we're to 50, which is our end point, right? Is what everybody is saying. How do you increase in this role at this point in our lives? Conversation that we're having. We have to continue to have that conversation if we're doing things like this that are not future looking and forward. It's incredibly important for the health and safety of everybody who lives here, not make sure that we are doing that. I think my dad passed some of the first clean air and clean water acts in the country. That is something that is incredibly important to me. The environment is incredibly important to me. That's why I serve on the board of the Haskell Center for Conservation, mostly for the environmental protection. It's something that I would be an absolutely strong advocate for, because especially in the upstate, people see this as a dumping. Recently, there was a toxic in the Perlis land. I'm sure a lot of you know about that. I was out there protesting with supervisors and Catskill Mountain Keeper, wrote a letter to Attorney General Tiz James on behalf of Catskill Mountain Keeper and others to make sure that they were aware of that attention. We need to make sure that we are not a dumping for other places. They see us as the woods, that's what they've said. And while we love woods, it's not a place for them to use. I absolutely.
Yes, and Beck.
Yeah, hi, Michelle. Thank you for coming tonight. Building on what he was talking about, there has been a lesson about the population exit. So looking for a home in Connecticut, we're actually waved off of Belgium. So really said, people, they're not coming there. And I never thought it would happen, but it is. So what kind of program do you propose? Would you be putting to support business development, to support coming people to Ulster?
I think we need to be a better state right now. We are not very small business. We need to make sure loosening some of those things and also helping small businesses actually come here and function. So I met with two different companies. One is Brown Loan. I met with Dan Leader, who is the founder. He told me a story about how model business started in Woodstock. They've expanded a tremendous job. They have incredible people from all walks of life. They had an audit, sales tax, and they had just gotten a new credit card machine and set it up wrong, and apparently they made a sales mistake. They knew there was nothing, there was no foul play, they weren't doing anything wrong, it was completely by accident. They said, don't worry, we know, we'll help you. And a week later, they went through, and Dan was basically like, you want to put me out of business, right? And this is a pillar in our community. He was able to fight it, and found about $100,000, right? But so businesses can't take that. So how do we make sure that we're helping set up, whether it's a small business task force communities, whether it's at the state level or local organized? I've already talked to people in Albany County about making sure that they have access to the sources that they need. You know, we have a whole Made in New York and medicine company happening in Dutchess County. Founder of it is from Saugerties, but it's in Dutchess. And if I could talk about this afterwards, it would revolutionize medicine. And you brought issue one, but it would revolutionize rural medicine. They are actively right now outside of, because they can't get the funding or the permissions to do it. That's a travesty. We have it happening here locally, and we can't take advantage for people who live on the mountaintop or in the hilltop of the county. We need to make sure that we're elevating those businesses, that we're supporting them, and teaching people to come to. From a workforce development perspective, I think apprenticeship programs is something that we desperately need to be investing in. I, again, went to Saugerties, and I am living in the house that I grew up on, or grew up in, and both people, my neighbors, are the kids that I grew up with. And I look at them, and I think how much better their life would be right now if we had gotten them into a trade that they liked early. They are now in their 30s, still looking for work, because they weren't on a college path, and they never found something stable. If we had better resources and better connections in our schools to give these people path, good paying jobs without student debt, that's huge. And so I think people will be here just to have opportunities, and people will stay here to take advantage.
It sounds like part of a broader strategy you want to put together.
I mean, economic development, workforce development is a key for something that I think too. I mean, you look at it across all industrialized hemp too. Places like Montgomery County, Amsterdam is not yet, but they have houses, tremendous space force that we should be tapping. What are the types we can bring in? How do we get creative to elevate communities? Incredibly important for me. I mean, I believe because of it.
Okay, thank you. Great, next please.
It's Gary. Baylor's is going to be, it's a bludgeon right now. What do you think?
We need an equitable criminal justice system that also, right? Bail, if you commit any of those crimes, the money to get out, you can out anyway. So bail is different than remand. I think we need a lot of conversation happening now at this, but we committed specific crimes that egregious, aggravated assault, et cetera, that we demand, as opposed to lenity. I think cash bail, we needed to get rid of because it would still harm our communities, but that shouldn't be making sure that we're keeping off the streets for a
please.
Earlier tonight, someone referred to coal. And Mr. Greenberg, his presentation is profoundly true. Republicans that control group do not interference, for one thing, but also do not change. There's a cable company that rejected millions of dollars to Mint Broadband, for example, because they did not want any outside action, any interference, or change. They wanted to follow this like business plan. Republicans control Green County. This has been going on for, I don't know, decades. Green County strikes me as a mess district. How changes that you're talking about benefit the district will be implemented when there's already so much built in reason?
Okay, you hear that? You understand the question? Well, that was, I'll do my best. Bringing up is an issue that's specific to Green County, even though we do this part. And the issue is, I'm sure I'm going to explain this. You want to help me with this?
Sure. Because Green County is controlled by Republicans.
Yeah, right.
Historically, they are very reluctant to change, and they don't want to bring in positive improvements. And so how would we, and tell me if I'm missing any part of this, but how would I and how would we as the campaign and as the office and as the Senate make sure that we're helping Green County by bringing these positive things we've talked about?
That's it. They will resist.
Right. I think we need to fight for it. You don't allow resistance to stop you from positive change, right? We need to work with everyone. I would make sure that I sat down with them to actually really educate them on why these things are important. I know you're shaking your head saying they probably would sit down with me and it wouldn't matter, but I would still do it to extend the effort so that when, you know, you have to try and we have to try to work together. We are in some of the most divisive times we've ever been in right now. And part of that is because people like who you have at elected local government won't talk to the other side. It's incredibly important that we try to open those lines of communication, but also fight for the things that you need. There is so much opportunity here, and we can't let a couple of local electeds dictate the future of your county, right, the future of our county. It's not, we need to make sure that we're doing it, whether it's working with nonprofits, as we've said, or we're bringing in other money, working with different municipalities that will actually work, working with groups like yours, right, to actually make sure that we're getting the word out and that we're doing the best that we can. I mean, I think I agree with you. I think it's a challenge, but it's not something that we have to let go. It means we have to absolutely work for.
Thank you. So now we want to do our 2 minutes.
Yeah, let me ask the same question I asked Gary.
Okay.
What do you think the campaign's going to cost? Where do you expect the money to come from? And can you talk about endorsements?
Sure. So I think this is about $1 million race. So the same question that Gary had, how much is the race going to cost? Where does our money come from? And what are the endorsements? I think this is $1 million race. It is a very rural district. That's a lot of mail. It's a lot of door knocking, right? And so even outside the primary, race in total, $1 million+. To date, our filing was due on the 15th of last week. Our campaign has raised just over $100,000 already. And that's just starting since September. Those contributions are coming from individuals. They will continue. They're starting to come from unions. They will continue as we go through that process. And it's going to be, unfortunately, an expensive race, something that I'm very excited about. Hopefully it happens before we get there, but is public financing reform, right? There is no reason this race should be $1 million by people who live here. That is just completely outrageous. We are in a district that doesn't have that type of disposable income. We should not be asking people to spend their hard-earned dollars on people and keep having the same conversations. So I'm a very big proponent of changing our public financing law. The enforcement side, as I said, the New York Times had a really great article about how we're the number one pickup seat. County Democratic endorsement stems from work that I'm in county. Yes, I'm not from there, but I have been working with them since March, talking with them about what they need to sit down. It's the same way at the county. The Ulster County Committee, we have their endorsement as well, and their state of candidates. Congressman Delgado's endorsement, actually. Yeah, he spoke. Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan is our endorsement, and Jen Vogt, which is a student, has also endorsed us.
Thank you. Each candidate a chance to make a 2-minute summary, so let's go back to Mr. Greenberg. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I'll just sum it up. I really appreciate you having me here tonight. I love doing these things, meeting with people. That's what I've done my whole life, trying to provide public service. You know, I'm a member of the Elks. I'm a senator in JC's. It's the highest award when I was younger that you can receive. And I've done a lot of community service. State Passive Action Network, the Hero Award, for flipping the New York State Senate, and for my work on the Child Victims Act and Aaron's Law. And I'll make one commitment to you, I stand by my word. Whatever you want, I'll do. My wife lives in Greene County. She was born in Greene County. I was born in Greene County. And I think it's so important at this time, with the condition of this county, that you have a legislator, a senator. And I'll be proud to represent you from Greene County. And this is your chance. Like I said, modern history, no legislator, no senator has ever served from Greene County. And we have a chance to put one in there and put one in the majority party that will bring back more money and turn this county around like you've never seen. I promise you that, and I have a record of doing that. Thank you. And I look forward to meeting you all after the meeting and discussing if you have anything else.
Okay. Oh, good. 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 Good.
The pride.
Tell me we're kidding. My wife loves these.
Michelle.
All right. Michelle, would you please 2 minute summation? Thank you.
I know. You taught me now. Thank you. I too would just like you like to thank you for coming out and spending your MLK evening with us. I think what was said in the beginning about the spirit of the day and what we're doing here today is incredibly important. I continue that as we go. This is something that I don't take lightly. I, growing up in politics, have seen all of the negative sides, right, in and out. And it's something that I wanted to make sure that if I was ever to choose this path, it was because I knew that was the only thing that I could do. And I felt that strongly about it. For me, I've learned that. And I come in with my eyes open. I know what it takes. I know the challenges we have in our communities. But we need, that doesn't mean that we shy away from them. We lean into them, and we make sure that we are advocating for this entire district, Greene County being a key part of that. The challenges we have here are not unique, and they're happening up and down. How do we make sure that we are keeping those conversations at the table? And so to have a representative in the majority caucus will make sure that we help people like Jen Metzger and even Skoufis and Rachel May as the only upstate representatives. How do we give them a louder voice? How do we make sure that we are a voting block and that we are constantly talking about the issues that are relevant to our communities? I'm excited to do that, and I look forward to working with you. Thank you.
Jonathan, you'd like to do closing remarks?
Sure, thanks.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, everybody, and thank you, candidates, for a spirited and intelligent conversation tonight. And thank you for your endorsement of our green bags. Free for you, $5. We've got thousands. So we invite everybody to stay after the candidates will be here, if that's all right for with you, to ask some more questions. I want to mention, if you're not a member of the Mountaintop Progressives, please sign our mailing list. We are primarily a political action group, and we love holding forums like this. We've done many and intend to do more. We are a rural community, and we are working primarily in the 11 mountaintop towns up here. So that's our focus, and if you live up here, please join. And although we are primarily a political action group, we have a social component. We're a big tent group. We have an immigration committee. We have an opioid recovery and treatment committee. We have a senior committee, transportation committee. We have an environment committee, which puts on an Earth Day every year, which is unbelievable and fantastic. We have an issues committee. So please, if you're interested, if you want to become more active, join us. We need more members. We'd love to have you. And I think that's it for me. Thank you, Ron, very much for helping organize this, and for Robert as well. Thank you all for coming. I think it's incredible.
The bar's over there.